Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Real Madrid podcast. Well, today, plenty of continued reaction to the 2-2 draw with Celta Vigo on Sunday night. The focus of attention equally splits on the general disappointment of dropping 2 home points and conceding 2 defendable goals. On the bright side, which was the impressive return after 81 days of Eden Hazard, who returned with energy, vitality, and a real visible hunger out there. Now, inevitably, the media does tend to look for the scapegoat, and the defence is under scrutiny, or has been once again, and nobody more so than Marcelo. For some, he is simply not a good enough defender. No, these are the same people who highlighted as well, regardless of Mendy's stout defending, that he hardly actually ever provides crosses. There were, though, a few that spoke up for Marcelo's performance on the night. Let's bring it under the microscope a bit and look at what he actually produced out there on the pitch. 60 out of 73 passes were successful. 30 out of the 73 passes he made were forward passes, which was more than anybody else on the field. Kroos made 19, and he produced 10 crosses. Carvajal the closest to him on that score with 8. He won 3 corners as well, more than anybody else out there. Had 3 shots during the course of the game, which was equal to Benzema. And in terms of winning possession, well, 4 times in the defensive third, which was more than anybody else out there. 5 times in midfield, which was equal to Casemiro. Only Kroos made more with 6. And 3 times he won possession in the attacking third of the field. And that was equal with Eden Hazard as well. The letdown, though, for Marcelo was undoubtedly the number of times that he lost possession during the course of the match, 27 times throughout the 90 minutes, which was significantly ahead of his closest rival for that, which was Gareth Bale, on 18. What about the view of Zidane on Marcelo's performance? He's been asked multiple times over the last 24 hours when the question has emerged. He said, "I don't think that Marcelo weakens us at the back." He did add, though, that the team will need to improve defensively because of the quality of our rivals in the upcoming games. Just looking ahead to next weekend, remember that Fernand Mendy is 1 card away from suspension, so it's highly likely that Marcelo will start against Levante this weekend, so as Mendy is available for the game against Barcelona. Let's not forget as well, last word on the defence for today, 16 goals conceded in 24 games. It is still the best defence in La Liga. Now, Eden Hazard has appeared multiple times over the last 24 hours talking about his return. "I felt good overall," he said, "though the first 10 minutes were pretty tiring for me, but my strength built as the game went on. Overall, I'm happy with my performance, though not with the result." Reinier Jesus Carvalho was presented to the media at Bernabeu on Tuesday. He's had a real whirlwind few days since arriving in Madrid last Friday. He watched the Castilla team in action and was seen with all his family in the box at Bernabeu on Sunday evening for the game against Celta Vigo. As for when he will be first seen in the white shirt, well, it could very well be this weekend on Sunday when the Castilla team take on San Sebastián de los Reyes, if, of course, Raúl feels that he is ready. Now, certain sections of the media have been getting very excited and slightly ahead of themselves over the last few days since news broke of Manchester City's potential ban from European competition. Now, for many, that has meant that everybody from Raheem Sterling, Kevin De Bruyne, Bernardo Silva, Gabriel Jesus and Phil Foden will all be arriving in Madrid at some point over the course of the summer. Reality, as we know, though, is somewhat different. Back to Marcelo again and his future. He's much talked about across the peninsula with media speculation that he has told some of his closest friends at the club, including Casemiro, that he feels the time is right to move on. And as for the next destination, well, Juventus has again been mentioned. But again, it does look somewhat unlikely. His style of play would be suited to a more rigid format even though, of course, Ronaldo is in residence. And let's not forget as well that despite the speculation, he has always insisted he would like to end his playing days in Madrid. He'll be 32 this May. He has 2 years left on his current contract, so the possibility to end his career at the top level is still there, as long, of course, as he does accept that he probably won't be playing as regularly as he once did. Now, the hunt for Benzema's successor or a partner too is never far away from the news. The experiment with Luka Jovic shows at the moment no signs of working at present. 4 starts and 11 substitute appearances for the player. Just 2 goals, both in the 90th minute against Osasuna, the other against Leganés. Now, Mauro Icardi's name has again re-entered the equation, with PSG beginning to quake as well after what happened to Manchester City last week. They need to make sure their books are whiter than white. They have the option to sign him for $65 million at the end of this season, but it's looking increasingly likely that they will allow Icardi to return to Inter. He's still incredibly only 26 years of age as well. His time with PSG has been pretty productive as well, with 19 goals scored. But with Conte potentially losing Lautaro Martinez, he may well be forced to retain his services next season. And that leads us nicely onto the fact that many writers are also speculating that if Lautaro Martinez does leave, then Madrid are in pole position to sign him. And the deal sweetener is Gareth Bale or James Rodriguez, or indeed both. Now, the only issue here, and it is a significant one, Inter's highest paid players earn half of what Gareth Bale earns, so there is little likelihood of Bale dropping his salary for a move that he doesn't particularly want. As for Martinez, the 22-year-old with 17 goals in 48 Serie A games is a major talent and would certainly suit Real Madrid and La Liga's playing style. Now, replacing an iconic player who has been at the heart of all of the club's successes in recent years is never going to be easy. But the future after Sergio Ramos is still a hot topic. Not going to be easy, as we said, either, as they've found out with Militao, who is taking his time to settle into life in La Liga. Another Brazilian, a constant name on the lists being compiled in the sports press, Diego Carlos, who's had just 1 season with Sevilla since signing from Nantes. He, though, has been seriously impressing everybody who's been following his progress. And Kalidou Koulibaly, of course, at Napoli. He will be 29 in June, and if he is going to move for significant money, then this will surely be the summer that it happens. He's had a very consistent 6 seasons in Naples since his move from Genk in Belgium. And that just about wraps up today's update. I will be back later in the week as we look ahead to the weekend. In the meantime, enjoy the return of Champions League this week. If you're watching, certainly Dortmund against PSG looks like the game to sit down and watch. Don't forget as well, you can catch up with all of the previous episodes of the podcast via the website at www.realmadridpodcast.com or via Spotify, iTunes, Google, Stitcher, Alexa, and all of the major platforms. Until Friday then, from me, Tim Capel. Bye-bye for now.